welcome to episode 26 of the Squadcast, the official podcast of Glasgow Warriors. Thank you to everybody who has tuned in, and apologies for a rather unscheduled couple of weeks break. Pre-Munster ran away from us a little bit in terms of the build-up, and then, well...
Post-Scarlets as well.
Yeah.
Pre-Munster.
Post-Scarlets, pre-Munster, everything about that. However, we are back after a two-week break.
Yep.
And what a week to be back in, Murphy.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, isn't it? Especially after the weekend gone before.
No, we don't talk about that. It's in the past.
Exactly. So boys are gearing up for, which is going to be a big game this weekend, the final.
Yeah. I mean, you look back, obviously it's the last game of the season, but these are the games that you grow up dreaming about being involved in. Just talk to us about what the build-up's been like this week in the lead-up to the game on Friday night.
Yeah, these are the games that you want to play in. These are the games that you train hard for and put the graft in at pre-season. But yeah, this week's been a bit different. Obviously, we didn't have a game at the weekend, so we were in for a couple of days last week and then had a normal full week this week. So boys are raring to go, and it's they're going to get both barrels, as one coach once said. So it'll be an interesting game. Some good plays coming up. So it'll be entertaining because Tlon as well, you know what they're like. Yeah. They've got a lot of flair. The old boy Parisi in the back row, he scored assisted a couple of tries at the weekend with his grubbering, so yeah, we'll see how that goes this weekend.
I'll just touch on that, but obviously you grow up talking about a European final. If you're talking about modern European heavyweights, you're looking at Toulouse, you're looking at Leinster, you're looking at Toulon.
Yeah.
How much more special is it almost to play a team like that in the first ever European final for this club?
Yeah, traditionally they're the big ones. Toulon are always up there. They've always had the cash that they can buy those players to keep pushing on. And going up against one of the biggest ones in Europe is obviously pretty special to show that we can fight amongst all these big teams and big names. So it gives us confidence as players and coaches and staff that we can do this regularly, every season, push and fight for the best teams and hopefully win the best competitions. And like we say, Champions Cup next year will be another footstep in the right direction to hopefully winning another European trophy if we can do it this weekend.
Now, it's at this point we'd normally introduce our guest on the Squadcast, but since it's the last episode of the season,
yep,
barring the fact if you want to come back in next Wednesday,
I'll be busy.
We thought we'd do something a little bit different, so we're going to go with what we're loosely terming as the Squadcast End of Year Awards.
The unofficial
Squadcast. If we're talking about the Oscars and the Emmys, that doesn't mean it's the Squaddies or the Casts, or I don't even know how you would shorten that.
How you'd word it, but...
No, I think we just never call it that again, to be honest. I said that out loud, which sounded horrible. So we've got a few bespoke questions / scenarios. So we'll just dive straight in. So Murphy, what is our first unofficial Squadcast award of 22-23?
The first one is favourite guest. Probably should have left this one to the last, but well, this is a big one. This is like
who the listeners are.
Player's player. favourite guest is the first award. And personally, I would either have to go... So the nominations...
All right, here we go. Yeah.
Getting made up on the spot, by the way.
We're highly professional. We're definitely prepared for this.
Is Sam Johnson.
Always solid.
Yep. Sione Vailanu and Jack Mann. But unfortunately, with Jack Mann, you can really hear it. So
yeah, we're going to award him the technology master. I heard a lot of that day.
But I'd say the winner would be Sam Johnson.
Yeah, there we go.
He obviously brought a bit of energy to it, and it was quite funny. Like I say, a word on Sammy. He's obviously got announced that he's leaving late. But yeah, what a special player he is, isn't he?
Oh, again, I'd say you feel like he's probably one of the players that the fans will recognise and applaud for what he's done, but possibly never quite grasp how much he's done for the club over the
mental
8 years or whatever he's been. He's been at the heart of a lot of big results for both for us and for Scotland over the last how many years.
And obviously it was quite special this year. He made his 100th as well, so he'll be written into the history books here forevermore. So it's good that he got that, but I think this award will mean even more to him. So
well, we'll let him decide that one.
Yeah,
he'll
be listening. So Sammy, make sure you come collect your award next week.
Oh, and we have to buy the awards now. Yeah, I didn't think
we'll
this
just,
through.
I don't know. You can buy them. You can take them out of the media budget at Scotland.
Like the fact you think we've got a media budget.
And that brings me on to the least favourite guest.
Okay.
I've just put it in there. I've just because Duncan Weir gets it hands down.
Yeah, that's not even a nominations list.
Duncan, you deserve what you get. So take that, least favourite guest.
Murphy has just decided Duncan has won this. Right. In fairness to him, his actual episode was quite good.
But yeah, it was quite good.
He was going to win that award about 30 seconds into the podcast when he'd never listened to us.
Yeah. So he didn't listen to it, so yeah. he gets that award.
Not that we hold a grudge or anything, but...
No. Favourite Squadcast moment is number 2.
Ah. Now, I mean, there's a few moments that stand out in my head. Johnny Matthews deciding to challenge every football team in the West of Scotland to either a 5 or an 11-a-side game.
There's that one.
Sione Vailanu deciding to reveal on air that he was a massive fan of Dr. Hook, or whatever the country song was that he was tuned along to there.
Another good favourite moment was RT becoming the Haggis King.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Had Haggis about 4 days in a row.
4 days in a row. In that week, in that Burn special.
What other moments have there been? How many episodes has it been? 26.
This is episode 26, so you've got a quarter of a century of episodes to choose
from.
That's
crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's a full team. Lots of extras.
Yeah.
Well, they're the ones that pop it. Or, to be honest, I did when I was absent, Cameras was quite funny. There's a couple, the whole thing was just funny.
The incessant raps are good for me plugging from both him and Cole.
Plugging his Instagram page the whole time. So that was also a good one. But favourite moment would probably have to be when Ross and I were fighting over fork and pork.
Oh, yeah. I don't know whether that made it into the final edit or not, but
it made it into one of the blooper ones.
It did make it into the bloopers.
The folk that listen to the blooper ones will know, because we went away from that. I didn't tell you about this, but we went away from that. I must have discussed it for another 24 hours. I mean, we ended up fighting over the wrong thing and arguing over the wrong thing, but that moment was a favourite.
You say the wrong thing. That you're men of principle.
Yes.
You're standing up for what you believe in.
Exactly.
This is where we are. What was the resolution of this? Did you get the better of him in the end, or did Ross wear you down?
We had to agree to disagree. Okay. Ross is too strong-minded and so am I, so neither one of us want to be wrong.
Stay tuned for the episodes, whatever it is, next season, where we actually just dedicate the full show to that.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. This is a highly esteemed award, this one. It's called the Darge's Beast Award.
The nominations are?
Nominations are Darge and Rory, and it goes to Darge. So Darge's Beast.
Is there anything else that we need to say there, or do we just move on from that one?
Other than the fact speaking of, just won, what is it?
Warrior of the Month for
Warrior
April.
Warrior of the Month. Shock. I was speaking to Ollie yesterday in the change room, and I was saying how whenever somebody's like chatting about like accolades and whatnot, I always say, oh, my flat, like between me and Darge, we do bloody well. Like we've got 4 Warrior of the Months between us, about 6 man of matches. God knows what else. 30 odd Warriors or 40 odd Warriors caps between us.
Couple of tries.
Few tries. Got an international try, 2 cap, like cap for Scotland. He's got, well, between us there's about 10 caps for Scotland, and I'll leave it at that. And then I don't tell him the split, because Darge has got about 90% of all of that.
He's certainly come back from injury in good form, shall I say.
Yeah.
Which was a very ill-timed injury for the obvious reasons, but also the fact that he was episode 2 recorded of the Squadcast, and we recorded that literally the day before he got that injury.
Was it?
Yeah, we had to put...
God.
We recorded it on the Thursday, the game was on the Friday, and we had to push his recording.
Has that happened to anyone else?
No, just Arjun.
Okay, good. Because imagine this became like some sort of bad omen.
I feel
terrible.
No, but the Darge's Beast Award.
Goes to Darge. Well done, Darge. Put it up. He'll have it up in the flat next.
Do you have like a trophy cabinet in your flat?
Not really, no. He's got a wee shelf above his bed where his cap is, and his other 2 or 3 Warriors of the Months are sitting. We're going to run out of space, actually. I'm trying to think what else he's got up there. He used to hang his Man of the Match medals off the edge of his bed. Bedpost got 2 full of them, so I had to get rid of them there.
He will love you for saying this on air as well.
Yeah, they're probably collecting dust now. I actually said that to him the other day. He's terrible for, like, domestic wise, terrible.
Oh.
I hoovered his room for him the other day because he was just sat there. I had to hoover. I was like, I might as well do it. And I think it took a whole, what would you call it? A whole container? A whole thing of the hoover?
Yeah. I mean, I would say it was a bag, but I don't think it's a bag of any hoovers anymore.
Not quite that old.
No, probably. I mean, neither am I. I don't know why I said that.
A whole container, whatever you want to call it, of his room. And his room isn't massive. And his cap was sitting on that shelf. And it, you know how they're like navy?
Yeah.
It was like covered. And I was like, clean that. So I actually went in another day because he wanted something, or some of his washing or something, and it was completely spotless. So
there you go.
Took on advice, there, thankfully. Got biggest next award is the biggest learning from our guests. You've already mentioned probably the biggest one.
The biggest one for me is Sione Vailani's undying love for Doctor Who and country music. I'm trying to think if there's anything else up there. Sione Tuipulotu winning the NFL fantasy draft.
Yeah,
probably up there. But I mean, it's not quite on the same level. No offense.
It's kind of predictable though, because Nons is a big, Wee Nons is a big NFL fan. But what is less predictable is Big Nons loving a bit of country.
Yeah.
But he does have an eclectic mix. Like, he's on in the change room nearly every single day.
Yeah.
So I've got used to it now, expecting anything from him. A bit of Hannah Montana.
Country. Seriously.
Yeah. It keeps everyone in a good mood. He loves Sweet Caroline for some reason. Yeah, so
I don't know why, but
he's got himself a hell of a library of music. Yeah. But that was probably the biggest learning. I think what else? Other than Cameras with his raps, that was a big learning as well.
I don't think there's anybody else left out there that doesn't know that Cam and Cole enjoy a good chicken and cheese wrap these days.
Yeah.
We went in slightly to Sione. We obviously talked about Sam leaving at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Sione's first season here. How good has he been?
Yeah. I know. Feels like he's been here for ages, hasn't it?
It's been a long season, but it's been a very enjoyable season from many progress. And one of the reasons is seeing the big man.
I think it's credit to him. Thing. Like, he's fitted in seamlessly.
Yeah.
And he's, feels like he's been here for a few seasons, let alone one. And then, was it his home debut with that screamer? That gets the unofficial try the season from me. But yeah, he's been unbelievable for us.
Yeah.
I remember before he came, Matt Fagg was dubious about if he'd play.
I love that you're slagging off Matt Fagg, even in the last episode of the season.
Yeah, well, you have to. But look at him now. Look at him now. He's in the shape of his life. Dropped 12.
Yeah, it's a fair amount, yeah.
Yeah, Damon Killer got him into unbelievable shape, and he's playing some unbelievable rugby. So
testament to him as well. He's gone in and put the work in. Like, you could see it in pre-season. You could see it the first few weeks of the season. He was going for it.
Yeah. And the ability to finish off that 60-metre try was, we talked about it before. It was partly due to that 15 not wanting to make a tackle and Nons running at full tilt. So, yeah, that was good. But, yeah, like I say, Sione's been a great signing for us.
Yeah.
Probably.
Oh, I would say most of the boys that came in over the summer, if not all of them.
Who else came in?
I was trying to do in my head. I was like, most of the boys, because I can't remember everybody that came in over the summer. But obviously, JP, Sintu.
Would you count Tom Jordan in there?
I suppose he was here for the entirety of last season, but obviously made his debut at the top of the year.
So,
for the sake of that argument, we can count TJ in there.
On the spot, signing of the season, unofficial.
Oof.
On the spot.
Signing of the season.
Yeah. New signing of the season. And new to the club as well.
Yeah.
Like, new to the club. So that gives us JP, Sintu, Vailanu,
Alan Dell.
Dele.
Trying to think if there's anybody else. Do you count the boys that have signed their pro contract? So
you
Alex,
could.
Max, Gus.
Yeah, Alex, Max, Gus. Did that get picked up on the mic? Yeah, well, there's nominations. Sorry if we're missing anyone else out.
Yeah, I was going to say, there'll be somebody that we've completely missed out of there.
But it's going to go to Nons, isn't it? Big Nons.
Probably.
Has to. Big Nonny.
Shout out to JP as well.
JP's
played, he's played more games than anybody else this year.
Really?
I think so, yeah. He's 25 or 26 games. think he's played 24 or 25 of them. He's only missed one game.
Really? I never knew that.
He's been in most of the matchday 23s. That's another, actually, for a moment of the season, is JP bouncing off the Zebre scrum half down here in the corner and yeah. what is possibly the biggest mismatch of the season.
Yeah, poor scrum half.
But no, we've had a good crop of signings this year.
Yeah, well, I think he just shows like the amount of boys leaving this very low crop of boys leaving, which is obviously credit to the boss picking the right players for his team.
Next question, fire in.
Right, this one's going to be quite tough to do.
Well, here we go.
It's not really a award, it's more just like describe the season in one word. Like, what one word would you use to describe the whole season?
Ooh. Should get you to set the questions more often. That is a tricky one.
I was trying to think about this while we were setting up. And obviously, we've reached a final. But then we're also so gutted that we missed out with Munster last week and could have gone further. So you either go down the route of being a good season or you go down the route of being like a missed opportunity. But then at the same time, we're in the final.
from somebody who both works in the media department here but also has grown up as a fan, this isn't a season that is anything other than a good season. There's no way that this season can be counted as anything other than a good season. Like, we've gone, even if you look back at the season, we've had two separate 9-game winning streaks or something.
Was that our longest streak?
Something like that, yeah. It's up. It's up. I'll get the stats wrong, so somebody on Twitter will doubtless correct me.
Top of the moon bloke.
Top of the moon. Unsung hero of the season, actually, that man.
Is that what top award of
the
moon. He's getting?
I'm giving that one to him. Closely followed home by the mass trumpeter, but top of the moon keeps us right on every single stat we go, so thank you to them.
Yeah, I still can't think of one word, but
it's a tricky question.
We were, I remember it was after we'd won against Scarlets, we had the review here, and Frank was like, "Right, put your hand up if you thought you'd make a final this year." And it's one of those ones where you don't know whether you should put your hand up or not. And I think it was just Wilson that put his hand up, and he was like, "Good. Well, I'm glad you're surprised because everybody else will be surprised." So surprise maybe, but I think Frank will actually use his analogy of us climbing a mountain and now that we're like halfway up this mountain, we've got this mountain to climb, which is obviously the final and hopefully win this. But like he says, next year we'll have another mountain to climb, which will be Champions Cup and the league. So I'd say excitement is the one word I would come with.
I'd go with you on that. I was thinking, how do we get that in there? But every time you see the games this season, it's just exciting to watch.
Yeah.
Pure excitement. And like you said, more to come.
Even to be here on game day now, everything's like coming out of the back of COVID.
Yeah.
Coming to the game day, there wasn't much to do. And like the whole day itself, I think, has been transformed by everybody here at Warriors, like backroom staff-wise. Like, you hear about all the fan engagement and they love it. And then the games itself, I mean, the brand rugby we're playing, the fans love it. Yeah. And obviously we love it as well because it's chuck the ball about and score tries. But it's incredible to see what Franco's done in one season. So excitement is the word, because next season, who knows where it can go. Warriors, yes.
I'm actually going to leave that one in. I'm not going to put the jingle in there. I'm just going to make you do that one there.
This is more of a conversation one as well.
Okay.
The big games.
The big game, capital B-I-G.
Yes.
Yes.
It's so hard to pick because Jen is, but I keep thinking about one and then another one pops into my head. So the first two that pop into my head would be the Stormers and the Bulls wins at home.
Yep.
God, they were good games.
Very good games.
But then again, Edinburgh games.
So when you were talking about that beforehand, I've got, this is, to anybody that knows me, this is very unsurprising because I'm hugely indecisive, but I've got four in my head. So, first one for me is Cardiff at home. First home game of the year.
I can't even remember Cardiff at home.
It's been a while. Cardiff at home, first home game of the year. Obviously come off the loss in Treviso in round one.
Oh, yeah. Was that the second game?
Yeah, second game of the year. You're not sure what the style of rugby you're going to play is. We don't know how we're doing. And within half an hour, you've got Cole running in from 10 metres in front of his own try line, full length of the pitch.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, no, this is how we play rugby.
Yeah. That was a hell of a change from week one to week two, wasn't it?
Massive. Massive. Other one for myself, Bath away.
Yeah, that was one I was going to mention as well. Bath away, that was... I think that happened at a very pivotal time in the season.
Oh, huge.
Especially we got written off pretty early because people thought we were coming down with a bit of a B side and we absolutely weren't. And rolling Bath over Bath was special. And seeing boys like Jack Mann on his debut, Gus on his debut, putting in a shift and coming home with an award was amazing. So
Cam Neild on his debut, capping off his debut by putting in possibly the greatest shinned kick into the River Avon I've ever seen.
I know, that could have went either way, wouldn't it?
Fantastic. I still love the fact that Sheba had an open lane to pass it to Dunkey and decided to pass it to Cam Neild instead.
So you can tell the grandkids in years to come, that's why.
Other two for myself.
What other games did you have?
Stormers for myself as well. Stormers, yep. Just the noise when Sione sticks the kick in.
That was
for Seba to pick it up and score in the last minute that's...
They talk about tries of the season and the ones that, like, how Shuggy got his one, but I genuinely thought if you took into the whole, like, the context of the try, the time it happened, the game again, like, who it was against, and
massive.
The build-up to it, that probably had to be try of the season.
It was, from everything, from the last... you can watch the last 3 minutes of that game and you've got everything. You've got Kyle beating three players down the side to get us back into the 22. You've got Demo running through the middle of people. You've got Sione kicking it when everybody's screaming, don't kick it. And then you've got Seba Fuffner diving on it.
Yeah, superstar Seba. No,
his celebration's interesting because he tries to get up and it immediately falls back to earth because gravity gets the better of him. But nobody's caring at that point.
Yeah.
And then the last one for me, Scarlett's away, is for exactly almost the exact opposite reason of the Stormers here, is that we go down there, there's 18,000 people or whatever.
That was unbelievable.
Atmosphere. In the Scarlet's ground. And it obviously is a nervy one.
Yeah.
Because you're behind at half time. And second half, we just turn on and you're not taking a backward step at that point.
Yeah. But it's funny how we actually, because we haven't done a squadcast since, I forgot to mention, there's a bit of the office moment at half time. I nearly lost it. But Franco's trying to tell everybody to like stay calm. And he's like, guys, just stay calm, stay calm. And Shiz, who's on the halftime clock, has to let everyone know like how long there is to go until we need to be back out, regardless of who's speaking, what's been said. So Shiz has shouted, 90 seconds, while Franco's going like, guys, just stay calm. And then Franco just starts screaming, stay calm at everyone. Proper like the office, like, it's happening, nobody panic. But I was nearly buckled. I had to leave the changing room a little bit early because I wasn't there. But that was probably one of the funniest changing room moments I've been a part of.
Yeah.
That halftime talk obviously worked.
No, whatever it was, everything in that game just clicked at that point. And
yeah, I know. What about the travelling fans though?
Oh, so good.
That back corner.
So I mean, it's the fact that like 3 minutes into the game, you get Stafford going over in front of it, and the only people you can hear are the few
corner.
Hundred people in that corner. And it's going to be like that Friday as well. You know that...
Big sea of blue with the flags, it was...
Yeah.
It was actually pretty crazy to see how many folk travelled.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing, I can't remember who it was, they'll know whoever it was, but I saw on Twitter, it was somebody posted on the comments their travel schedule or like the route they were taking. And it was something like 10 and a half hours
from like
Inverness.
Yeah,
it's crazy to like see like our fans following us that far, and the love they've shown for us over the whole season has been mental, and we've obviously got to do it one more time, so hopefully we can repay them.
No doubt.
Yeah, big games, that's... Scarlett's is definitely one of them. Got an even bigger game to come, so...
That's it.
This might get...
One more.
This might get completely washed away, and it might be till on.
Well...
Let's hope it is.
I was going to say, I hope so. I hope the fact that I've just named four games is completely overwashed by the fact that we've got one to pick, so...
There's so many games like Edinburgh's. We mentioned that both 1872, like to bring that up home again.
Yeah,
both special games. And then another game that stands out being special and different in a different way, or a big game. Sorry, was Wilson's last game.
Oh yeah.
I think.
But we say last game. He ended up playing the Scarlets again.
Yeah,
three weeks later. But
true.
No, I know exactly. I mean, the atmosphere in there. The Children's Hospital stuff as well beforehand.
Yeah, the whole build-up to that game was something else. And then obviously the game itself wasn't amazing because the weather just turned on us.
The perfect 80-minute storm decided to come in at that point. Yeah,
yeah. But I say, the build-up to that with Wilson, the stuff he's done at this club, and to recognise that over the whole week and not just a day was special. I mean, it's such a big occasion for everybody, not just the fans, not just the players, but everyone around him and his family. So it was amazing to recognise that. And yeah, like I say, that was a big game for everyone, just purely because we had to get the win for Wills. Favourite game? Right.
Narrow down the big games to favourite game now.
This is the last award that I've officially got on my phone. my phone and notes. But favourite game. But I'm going to break this up into two.
Okay.
One that I've played in.
Yep.
And then, obviously, one that I haven't played in. And I think the one that I've played in...
I mean, we will forgive you saying Scotland debut.
No. Shut up. No, I'm talking Wars game. Oh, for many, you probably wouldn't guess this being one of the favourites, but the Perpignan in Murrayfield was that was a hell of a game to be, just because of the whole week.
The week leading up to it I'd completely forgotten about that until earlier today.
Mental.
Yeah.
And then to play it, it was such a surreal experience because there was only a few hundred, maybe 1,000.
700 or something, I think it was, we ended fans. Up with, yeah.
And obviously playing against Big Siwa again was good fun. But winning there, it was just a weird game. Weird game and empty Murrayfield. And that was good. And then the Zebra game at home. Oh, God, I don't know which one. I'll go one that I haven't played in first. And it would probably have to be Bulls.
Nice.
Bulls, hands down. Fair Bullying enough. The Bulls. Pure, this is, right, okay. I hope this doesn't come back to bite me, but the fact that last year when we didn't get a result against the Bulls and they put up their little highlights reel and I really wanted to play in that Bulls game, and then to see the boys go out there and do the exact what they wanted to do to us to them was nuts. And I think afterwards that really shocked the league, and then it kind of gave us a lot more respect. So that'd be my favourite game that I wasn't involved with. Another, it's hard to say this is one of my favourite games, but the Sharks away. It's hard to say it was a favourite game, but it would definitely sit with me for a bit. Like, I don't want to sound like a fanboy here, but it was the first time I played against, like, Bapimpi, Khaleesi, Etzebeth.
This is interesting, because I always do kind of wonder if you guys get the same sort of feeling. Like, if I'm sat here, if I'm working here, usually focused on what I'm doing, but if you're sat in the stands for, say it's, I don't know, Glasgow v. the Bulls or whatever, and you've got... Kirtley Aronsa or Kuzia.
Yeah, all the big names.
Or even Leinster when you're looking at Vanderflee.
Leinster stacked.
Do you obviously still go, oh, right, it's him? Or do you just focus on that?
Much now, but I think even when I was at school and that, I remember like Etzebeth being like the man.
Yeah.
He was the man. And it was when he was he Toulon or Toulouse?
Toulon.
So when he was like Toulon and I was at school, like everybody would be chatting about him. Like you'd see folk have like screensavers on the phone of him and stuff like that, and then to be then like a few years later playing against him, it's pretty cool. And like it's at these like, see those kids camps, like the Warriors camps that happen on, and then oh, who's like the best player you played against? You're like, oh, whoever played against, and then you realise that like,
you've actually got quite a decent list.
You've got quite a good list that you've played against now. Yeah. Going from like being that like schoolboy or academy boy and then playing so ever how many games, and then when you actually do sit down after a season or end of the year and think about it, you've got all these, like you could call them A-list rugby players.
Yeah.
You got all these A-listers that you could pick from, because I remember when I was in the academy and I had to do like that, and they're like, oh, who's the best player you played against? You'd have to go like, try and think about somebody in the Premiership that you played against in the Scottish Prem. But then now you've obviously got like the likes of Sexton and Van der Fleers, and then, like I say, the Khaleesi's and that. So it's Yes, that one obviously didn't get a result, but yeah, we'll always stick up there. It's been like one of the, I don't know, I'm not going to call it my favourite game, I'll call it coolest game.
Coolest game. Which is ironic because Durban was not cool at
no,
all.
No, well, saying that, it was for me, so. Yeah, that, right, okay, that's.
No, I meant weather wise, not talking,
that's going to be a topic. That biggest. biggest. I don't want to say the word that begins with this. Biggest poo show. In more than one way. There's got to be the trip to Durban, because that was just.
Yeah, I don't know if it's.
That was a manager's nightmare.
That was, I think it was everybody's nightmare. I think I was at home. I wasn't on that trip. But yeah.
Well, I think it was Ross's nightmare as well, because you've stuck with me for.
Yeah.
And we didn't get it, but it was.
Just about survived.
Yeah, we survived it, and it was actually quite bliss for Ross and I, because it was a normal game, than a week of holiday. So, yeah, that was that was one that'll go down as a moment of last, like that'll forever get talked about. Like whenever you chat about, how was it going to South Africa? That'll forever get talked about.
Yeah,
I can't imagine anybody forgetting about that anytime soon. But yeah, Poogate.
Oh. We couldn't come up with a better name for that.
Gate.
Oh, yeah.
What about you being as a spectator, staff?
I don't get the choice of which one I've played in and which one I've not.
If you had to play in one, which one would you have played in?
If I had to play in one? Oh, my life.
Or like, who would you most want to play against?
On the one hand, you really want to play Edinburgh
just because of that
occasion. On the other, you really want to play your Leinsters, your Stormers, like you said, the big games before. If I had the skill and physicality required to be in that Stormers game in January, I'd have been right in there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have got in the team because I wouldn't have made the starting 15. But maybe I sit on the 24th man. I think for me, favorite game for me, I think, to work on was probably Stormers here. Love Perpignan away as well. That's my first time in France. Thought that was a great trip, great game as well. Bit chaotic. I think we had the yellow card in the first 3 minutes and then three tries in the first 15 minutes or something. Yeah. But no, I think from everything, from the occasion, from the game, from the quality of the two teams on the day, to the finish from Seba and Domingo just casually slotting the conversion in the red when it didn't actually matter, just to put the icing on it.
You've got a great memory, by the way.
That's right. I am the nerd. That's all I'm saying. Storm is here, I think, for me. We'll finish on a positive one. Your overall warrior of the season. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean like performances on the pitch. This can be somebody who just always comes in, raises the spirits down the stairs. It can be somebody that you just enjoy seeing on a day-to-day basis. Take it however you want. We don't need to talk about just the performances on the pitch, because it's been a long season and it starts in pre-season in August for you guys and finishes, well, it will finish next week. So.
Okay, right. I've got a runner-up and a winner.
Go for it.
Right, so this runner-up, like you say, it's nothing to do with performance. But in terms of being a warrior and having that mindset and just cracking on and facing adversity, would have to be Enrique.
Nice.
I think he's I don't like to say he's been forgotten about, but he's been behind the scenes grafting away with his injuries and then having back-to-back injuries and having setbacks over a whole season and missing the whole season is incredibly tough. I've never had to do it personally and hope to never do it, so touch wood. But he's had a hell of a season in terms of adversity and to recognise what he's done and the graft he's put in to try and make sure that he's come back in the best shape possible has been unbelievable. And he got his first game back this weekend playing for Ayrshire Bulls, so I think he's due credit because of what he's been through and the bravery he's shown and how he's managed to stick in there for a full 12 months or whatever it's been since his
first game since July, I think it was.
So it's like I say, he's been one that many folk have possibly forgotten about, and he's been unbelievable for himself and the staff that he's worked around this year. He's been unbelievable and getting himself back to rugby fit. So hopefully that'll be the last he'll ever have those injuries, and next year we'll see a lot more of them. But Enrique, he comes close to the Warrior of the Year. But the winner is more of an overall, completely rounded award. Off-field performances, good bloke. Probably, for me, be Seba.
Nice.
He's comes into training with a smile on his face all the time. Been an unbelievable player in terms of performances wise. Can't doubt that. He's also faced a bit of adversity as well with his knee injuries and what else he's had. And also him getting recognition internationally and being in the camp.
Yeah.
It's obviously special for him. He's been there a couple of times before, and then to get back in after an unbelievable season just shows you how his hard work has not gone unnoticed. So I think Seba, just because the type of bloke he is, and he's very selfless and will do anything. He's a very charitable man, and he was pushing for a lot of the stuff for the kids' hospital, the Scarlets game. So the plastic purple stuff, he was a big ambassador for that. And he's just been a great addition to the squad ever since he arrived. I don't think there's anybody out there that will argue otherwise.
Yeah, I can't start listening, boys, because I'll just be here for the rest of the rest of the night if I just start listening every single
time. I think it's a bit like...
It's a good choice.
I think Seba's going to be up in the names of Tommy Seymour, DTH. Like, he'll be up there without a doubt.
We're going to revisit this in however long it is that Seba needs to get to that level of the charts, but we'll revisit that.
He'll be up there, I guarantee you. So Seba wins the Squadcast Warrior of the Year.
Which is also code for we're booking you on episode one next year, Seba.
Well, that's the thing. So that's his only downfall.
He's not been on
is
yet.
Is that I've tried to convince him to come on twice and he does the Vailanu and just pretends he can't speak English. So yeah, Seba, we're coming for you.
We got you. On that note, we will call a halt to episode 26 of the Squadcast. And most likely, barring any unforeseen circumstances of a positive nature, the Squadcast for 2022-2023. Thank you to everybody who's tuned in for the debut year of the new, not really so new now, Glasgow Warriors podcast. We will probably be doing some bits and pieces over the summer, so stay tuned for whatever we've got planned there.
Thanks, the Squadcast listeners. It's been a hell of a year so far.
Indeed. At this juncture, Murphy, thank you for everything for the last year. We look forward to seeing you next year.
Yeah.
Good luck as well. You're obviously in Scotland camp, which we haven't even touched on in the last hour of the long as we've recovered.
That's not that important. But
fingers crossed that goes all well for you. And we will see you at some point over the summer.
Yep, you will.
And we'll see you at some point over the summer as well, Warrior Nation. In the meantime, he's been Murphy Walker. I've been Craig Wright. And this has been the Glasgow Warriors Squadcast.